Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is the Gathering Edition, and I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould. I'm Bob, and Fran is here, and we're going to be talking about the power of thoughts and suggestions, and I think we're going to find a way to work the afterlife into that, because after all, that's a world of thought. So we are, you're welcome to call in during the show as we discuss this. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. Tonight's show is sponsored by L&R Productions, and you could find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. And before we get into our exciting and heavy topic for tonight, Fran's going to keep us get us updated on some foundation business.
Okay. First, we all know, and we keep talking about it, and I thank everybody who's participating in supporting us through shopping online and liking us on Facebook and using our donate buttons that come with our emails, because that's what keeps us all going here and that's what keeps this show going here. And particularly when you shop online and you use the Visa credit card that you got on our website and you go to Amazon.com using the link from our website, everything you buy on Amazon is considered in the percentage donation that Amazon makes to us when you're done shopping and you check out from your shopping cart. And if you happen to have charged that on that Visa card that you took out on Forever Family Foundation, then Visa will also make a donation dependent on the percentage of what you have charged on that card. And if you don't find what you want on Amazon, you can always go to iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and then do your shopping in their over 1,000 online stores that you've all been to, like The Body Shop, Urban Outfitters, Vera Bradley. And just remember us when you shop and use your Visa credit card and go to iGive.com and go to Amazon.com and remember ForeverFamilyFoundation.org in your shopping. And we also have coming up our very, very soon on Earth Day, our Holiday of the Earth raffle. We only have about 60 people who have entered so far, so you do the math and figure out your odds, and if you think you've never won anything in your life, this might be your chance. So go online to our website, again, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and right there on the very first page is a link to enter the raffle. On that same page is also a link for you to attend our annual fundraiser, Night of Mediums, April 12th at the Melville Marriott. We will have lots of certified mediums coming from all across the country this time. So if you think you have seen them all on the East Coast, we have some new ones for you. So you might want to reserve your seats or get a whole table of 12 together and have your friends enjoy the evening with you. We'll have a full banquet sit-down dinner. And once dessert is set on the table, one of those certified mediums will sit at your table for the evening and conduct spirit communication just for your group. We also have set for July 26th to 28th our Grief Transformation Weekend at the Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. The first 50 reservations will fill this intimate retreat escape with like-minded people seeking to maintain their relationships with those who have crossed to the other side. Watch your emails for announcements, which will tell you about this exciting weekend with Dr. Garrett Jackson, Paul Alexander, Dr. Betty Kovach, Doreen Malloy, Rebecca Ann LoCicero, and Laura Lynn Jackson, along with our Healing Reiki team of volunteers. And if you are a business and you're listening and you'd like to advertise on this show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. I'm done.
Could you take a breath?
And we are going to be talking about, or we are right now talking about thoughts and suggestions, and I guess the theory is that our brains are always producing these thought waves. You know, the question is, where do they go? You know, from a metaphysical and not necessarily a scientific explanation, this mental energy, which I guess would be our thoughts, are converted into emotional energy, which is in turn converted into physical energy. So I guess that's a roundabout way of saying that our thoughts can affect matter. So if we are, I mean, I guess the question is, do you believe that we're constantly emanating these thought waves out into the universe, and where do they go? I mean, do other people receive, or is it selective? I mean, how do you think about that?
I think of that all the time, and especially if I'm going through something and somebody makes a negative comment, I sort of stop them in their tracks and say, I'm only going to think positively about this. I have to say it happens with my mother a lot. And she's getting it, you know, she stops and she goes, I know. But I always think about it, but yet I don't know the outcome. I don't know if, you know, if it really is affecting it. But in my mind, it is.
Yeah. Well, do you sometimes think, like, when you have a thought and you're sending it out, and it could literally be traveling, you know, the universe, and selectively some people pick up on it and some people don't? You know, I wonder what the reason for that is. I mean, we know that that groups, power of prayer and things of that nature, you have the ability to collectively change things. So lots of times we hear things like, you know, well, if we get together, we could change the world, you know, we could do this. I mean, how, you know, why is it that everybody, do you think that our thoughts are counteracted? You mentioned negative thoughts. So do you think positive thoughts are there's like a wall that's put up with negative thoughts going against positive thoughts? Or do you think one trumps the other? Or I'd like to believe that. What do you think, Tom?
I do think that the negative thoughts do make a block, and that there are probably more negative thoughts in the physical world than positive.
You do?
I just happen to be... Well, I'm reading a book now that an author has taken... The Life of John Lennon, and there's another book to follow with George Harrison, and it's The Spiritual Life, and talking about how they lived their lives and the discoveries they made that made them more spiritual people along the way. And John Lennon had exactly that thought, that if you can send out the, you know, he and Yoko got together and they were all about world peace, and Imagine, of course, his biggest song is about that, is that you can, if enough people, you can say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one, come join us and we will make a better world. He actually called it, at one point when they were trying to throw him out of the country, the FBI, I guess it was the Mitchell, John Mitchell, the Attorney General who under Nixon felt that Lennon was dangerous to the re-election campaign, and perhaps he was because he could mobilize a lot of people, and certainly in the anti-Vietnam protesting, and they wanted him out of the country, so they basically trumped up some charges and tried to throw him out, and Lennon. Answer to that was, well, I'm a citizen of Newtopia, and he wanted to be, he wanted the UN to recognize him as and give him immunity, which of course it didn't work, but the whole idea of Newtopia was, I am going to send out the love, I'm going to have positive thoughts, and we want to get everybody to be citizens of Newtopia, and we can change the world, and which comes from his time with the Maharishi and what he learned from meditation. I know that, you know, if anybody's a Beatles fan, they know that the song Sexy Sadie was written because he was disillusioned with the Maharishi, only as a human, but he never became disillusioned with the teachings of and the value of meditation. And really, meditation is exactly what we're talking about, because if you I've read books about healers who do that with energy, and the key to healing is that you send the intention to heal the pain that you're trying to heal, and then you meditate, and that process focuses the power of thought, and that intention and that thought is what healers use to heal by methods of, you know, the laying on of hands and all that sort of thing, which isn't all that even necessary to physically lay on the hand. It's the process of the thought that does the healing.
Yeah, by quieting a conscious mind, I guess, it enables that to happen. I wonder, as we say things like we're sending out these thought waves, you know, we're sending out a positive thought, but how do we know that that's our thought? I mean, how do we know that that's not we weren't the receptor of that thought? Maybe you sent that thought into my head. So it really goes around in a circle. But and a lot of that, I think, has to do with the nature of reality. And we come back from the break, we could talk a little bit about that. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, call us and let us know your thoughts.
We'll just send them along.
We'll be back. We'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. Alan Ross Huguenot, author of The Death Experience, What It Is Like When You Die, describes what people will experience as they die. Alan's book is based on his own near-death experience, combined with 40 years of afterlife research. As a graduate engineer, he collated the latest science of quantum field theory and the physics of consciousness while postulating a scientific basis for the location of the afterlife. Learn more at www.afterlife.pro. The Death Experience is available in paperback, Kindle, or Nook editions.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. You know, before the break, we mentioned reality, and that's a lot of what we talk about. You know, when people some of the things we talk about don't fit in with other people's reality. And when we talk about things like, you know, apparitions and ghosts and near-death experiences and things like that. And it's true, as we've discussed many times on the show, everything is really, we think is solid, but it's really empty space, or the vast majority of it. And our reality is shaped in funny ways. I mean, if I'm staring at you, Melissa, and so my eyes sense or pick up light waves, which send electrical impulses to my brain, and my brain then allows me to interpret what you look like or what color your hair is, you know. And Tom may look at you, and his reality of you is totally different than mine. I mean, Fran may look at you, and her brain associates somebody that looked like you that may have been a teacher in her childhood. So she thinks of you in her reality, or every time she sees you, you're a teacher, and it might be so. Everybody's reality is different. The same with all our senses. What we hear, hearing, is totally subjective the same way. So, who's to say what reality really is? And especially when we factor in the fact that you're 99% empty space, right? So
is that a compliment?
Thinking that one over.
So what happens with ghosts, like when you see an apparition? You know, why do some people see it and it's true and it's their reality, and some people don't? Do you think it's a matter of some sort of a resonance that only some people can see that apparition and some can't? That the people in spirit send out a thought form that only some people in the physical can see that thought form? You know, I think about things like this. What do you think?
Well, if it's in their schemata and they don't, then they might recognize it. But if it's not, it's like that story about the natives seeing a boat on the horizon, although they did not see it,
right?
Because boats did not exist to them. So they actually did not see it, which puzzles me. Like, there's something there. You don't know what it is. But maybe it's our friends who don't believe in the afterlife, and you start to tell them an experience or about signs, and you see this glaze go over their eyes, and they're just kind of tuning you out because they don't believe, they don't want to hear. It's just something they don't want to accept. I do encounter that
right.
Fairly often, more often than not.
So people that are in the afterlife, people in spirit, they are, the way we understand it, they are pure thought energy, right? So when they communicate with each other without any of these physical encumbrances that we have, thought must be totally different, you know. And in some cases, they're able to interact with this physical, you know, through as this entity of thought, to make things happen in the physical. So the more I think about it, it must have something to do with frequency, because maybe like with apparitions, maybe somebody has an apparition frequency, you know, that you may have and I don't have.
Like dogs can hear certain frequencies that humans can't. Maybe there are some humans, well, definitely there are some humans who can see and some who can't. I mean, clearly we're having a night of mediums next week with a room full of people who can hear and see things that I can't. And to them, it's just as natural. They've been here all their lives. So since they've been little children, have been seeing and hearing these things. There are times walking around where I'm definitely having little conversations in my head of like thinking about something, and then all of a sudden an opposing viewpoint will come into my head and say, well, you know, that could be this. And is that me just the thought process of brainstorming with myself, or is that somebody else who's around going, oh, no, try this idea? You know, you don't know. I mean, we don't know, but I'd like to think that maybe I am getting help from somewhere.
Yeah. I mentioned before thought forms, and I forget the name of a guest that we had on that was an expert in ESP and thought and things of that nature, and he talked about thought forms, and he said that that's the way that you could change things. Is that let's say you want to change something, you can conjure up this image or this thought form, so to speak, and then you could actually, it takes like a sort of a tangible form, and you can will it through your intentions to change it, you know, and then release it. And that's the way you could change things in your life. He even talked about how he would conjure up this thought form, and that his wife would come home and she would see this form that he just, you know, you'd say imagine, but it was and it's thought energy that converted into, maybe through emotional energy, into this physical energy that other people could see.
That reminds me, is it Eckhart Tolle or Tolle? I've heard it pronounced both ways, but in one of his books, he talks about people who get angry, and the anger just feeds on itself until it grows and grows and grows, and you have to recognize this and stop it in its tracks and like, no, you're not going to consume me. But for those who let it get out of control, and it grows and grows. Now, think about it. It's anger, and it's a thought, and you're focusing on it, but perhaps you're not even saying a word, but you create this energy around you, and someone could just walk into a room and go, whoa, the energy in there is pretty awful. So it's a thought, and it's mustered up by an individual, but it takes on its own form.
There's a quotation that I love that says that anger is a poison that you drink and expect somebody else to get sick. But to your point earlier on, you know, sometimes I read books that aren't spiritually motivated.
No.
I'll be the first to admit. A book I read about a year ago was one of these books where they analyze successful people, you know, geniuses and that sort of thing, in all different walks of, you know, the arts and the sciences and that sort of thing. And then disseminating what you can do to be a successful person. And I've heard it many different ways and times, but one of the things that is recommended is to write down a list of your goals, of where you would like to be in 10 years. And they say be specific. You know, if it's a Porsche, a silver Porsche you want to be riding, write that down. And write what kind of house you want to be living, what kind of job you want to be having, how much money you want to have, and then this one person suggests put it on your mirror, and every morning you look at that list and you look at it, and then 5 years or 10 years later, when you're actually sitting in that Porsche, you go, there I am. This is from the business world perspective. It was one of these that they must hire to motivate people in business and that sort of thing. And And so there are elements of the spiritual, even on Wall Street.
Yeah. Well, then that the argument is, though, then it's not certainly the way you described it, and even on Wall Street, that's not a... You wouldn't classify that as being a spiritual endeavor. You know,
right.
You're manifesting materialistic things. So, you know, would... And we've heard where even in some research, you know, the research... turned out better. The results turned out better when they focused on a spiritual concept. So maybe you're more likely to manifest something when you have good intentions, or you're not motivated by yourself.
As you said, when the goals are materialistic, but the means to the end is a spiritual means, and it's exactly what we're talking about. It's putting out the intention. It's using your thoughts to get what you want in the material world as well.
I'll ask Fran this question. Do you think that it's easier to attract negative or positive energy?
Easier to attract it? I think we're living in a world where there's so much negative energy that it's a challenge to get yourself in a positive light.
Yeah.
I think and I think it has very little to do with what you're trying to attract, because we've become a society where we are very busy. We're overly busy. And we don't have time to get up in the morning and meditate and put ourselves in a positive light and to take the time to bring positive thoughts in. And then you step outside your house or your car, or you step into your office, and right away you're, you know, blow by blow of negative this and negative that and negative the other thing. It's just the society in which we live in. I don't think, you know, this whole nonsense you go on with the secret this and paying for this book and that book that's going to give you the secret to riches and like attracts like and all this kind of stuff. It's just another money-making scheme, because in the reality of modern-day life, it's impossible, it's near impossible to put yourself in a 100% positive situation.
But getting back to the positive and the negative,
yeah.
Do you think that they're equal in terms of sending out the thoughts? If you're I mean, we've seen these experiments where people send out positive energy and plants, you know, grow, and
negative
energy and they wilt and things of that nature. But so, are they equal in terms of that, or do you think that positivity is more effective in resulting in the outcome that you want?
I think from the book that I'm reading now, that I've just completed reading today, that they're equal. But they have their own repercussions to them in both the physical world in which we live in and in what we're going to have to deal with those thoughts once we cross over. And just so I can give credit where credit is due, I'm reading The Blue Island, which I've read before. But I just thought it was interesting that I finished it today. And this week, actually, I think this Tuesday, was the anniversary in 1912, where the Titanic set sail on its
maiden voyage.
and the last voyage. And the Blue Island is a channeled account of W.T. Stead after the ship went down. And he covers everything in this book, particularly thought. There's an entire chapter on thought and what happens with thought and how we are beings of thought. And if I could quickly take a glance in here, he says that they're forces and that they pass through the air in precisely the same way as electric waves do, and they never miss their mark. They go exactly to where they are intended to go. You concentrate on Mr. A in the spirit world, he writes, and immediately Mr. A is conscious of a force coming to him. In this land, he's talking about on the other side, we're much more sensitive than while on Earth. And when your thoughts are directed to us by people on your side, We have a direct call from those currents of thought thus generated, and we are practically always able to come in close contact with the person who is thinking of us.
Wow. I like that.
So it's really cool. And you know, he goes on and on giving all different kinds of perspectives in trying to make the person he's channeling this information to understand what it's like on the other side. Interestingly enough, the book only covers his journey up until a certain point on the other side. But he leaves you letting you know that there's much more ahead of him that he's unable to tell you about in this channeled book. So it's quite interesting.
I'm going to have to read that.
I think if we're all connected, it doesn't necessarily have to be conscious thought that affects change. It could be unconscious thought. It could be, like we've come across experiments where people, for instance, you have two people in different rooms, and one person is told, which is unknown to the person receiving it, you know, to send a thought their way or to stare at them, you know, and then they measure the response of the recipient to see if they pick up on it. They're not consciously, they don't know what's going on, you know, just their body reacts to being stared at or being focused on. So that connectiveness seems to be in waves that we don't have to even know about, right? So
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. What about when people, I mean, we read all these books about how you could help people through thought, you know, mm-hmm. some of them are obvious with what do we first say when somebody tells us they're sick? So we're going to send good thoughts your way.
Yeah.
Do that a lot. Positive
thoughts. At the end of the show.
We have our own healing circle.
Right. We know that it's been measured. You know, things could happen. But I know that Tom mentioned it, and you said the same thing, that you thought that the negative energy, there's more negative energy, at least in the world today, you know, than there is, you know, positive energy. So how does one protect themselves, you know, from the negative energy? I mean, do we know that you're creating your own reality. You mentioned reading about forming like a protective layer, you know, around you, right?
Sure, so the white light.
Should we all be making ourselves more immune to the negativity? Is that how we affect change? You know,
to tie it all, a lot of things together, I mean, Eckhart Tolle says that, well, let me go back. The John Lennon, he realizes, and especially he was in a position where people were always coming to him and saying, you know, especially when the Beatles broke up, how could you break up? We needed you. You're saving the world with your thoughts and what you're doing. And he realized that somebody else isn't going to, you know, he has a line in a song, no Jesus is going to come from the sky and make it better. You have to find out for yourself what it's all about. You have the power, and it's an internal thing for each and every one that, you know, if you're, and in the 60s, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Right.
And then going to Eckhart Tolle, who says, you know, if you feel yourself getting angry, if you feel yourself with the negative thoughts, first of all, acknowledge, look, I'm human, I'm going to have these thoughts. You know, being a spiritual person doesn't mean that you're never going to get angry and you're never going to have negative thoughts. But being a spiritual person, in his terms, is to recognize, oh, there's one of those human thoughts that I don't want to deal with. I see it as anger, and I'm not going to make it part. I'm not going to internalize it. I'm not going to own it. I'm just going to see it and let it pass. And so, yes, you have, everybody has the power within themselves, and that's where the only place it's going to come from. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself.
We discuss mediums a lot, you know, mediumship. So they're getting communication, which are thoughts, right, from people in spirit. And the mediums very rarely communicate anything negative in nature. You know, do you think it's just because they're not repeating it, or they're just not getting it?
Talked about that sometimes and saying that they won't. Some have said they don't get that information, and others say they won't pass it on. So we should ask them, I guess.
Or they do. They ask their guides to only give them information that's for the greater good.
Yeah.
So they're already putting it out there that they only want positive stuff to come their way.
Could it be that positive communication is easier to project into the physical world than...
Well, that's interesting, because I'm going to go back to this channeled report again, is that when you're on the other side, there is this blissful type of positive existence. So what you should get from them over there is exactly what's going on, which is a blissful, positive existence.
So, and if that's true, so there really aren't negative thoughts, of people. I mean, there are no jealousies. There are no jealousy comes from materialistic things, right? So there's no materialistic things. I mean, you could just manifest whatever you want, supposedly. So
just to get into it, cause the reason it's called the Blue Island is because he describes the first place that he sees all of the deceased people from the Titanic congregating is on this Blue Island, which is like the first waiting room when you get over there, so that you need to orient yourself that, oh, I'm dead and I no longer have my physical body. So it's like this processing place that goes on. And then kind of like what we always talk about from Testimony of Light, it's almost like a hospital situation where there are more evolved entities that come to assist those people who can't let go of the fact that they are no longer alive.
It's like a recovery.
A recovery. And so he describes in the Blue Island progressing from the Blue Island to another level and another level. And they're not levels so much, not like they're delineated, but that as you evolve and you become more enlightened, you're reality on the other side, because it is a reality on the other side. He's saying this is really the dream world. Your reality changes because you're more enlightened and you understand better what it is not to have the physicality around you.
Right. I do believe that, because, yes, once you shed the mortal coil, once you don't need to worry about money or time or anything like that, you become more, you can see it clearer. That, oh yes, the positive is more pleasurable and more desirable. Whereas I have known people on this planet who clearly they know that, being negative and oppressing people and pushing people down is not a good thing. It doesn't make you feel good. And yet they see that as a means to an end to get the monetary place they want to get to. And then, the kind of, was the Wall Street movie, could bring in Wall Street, greed is good. Greed isn't good. It's one of the seven deadly sins. And yet, there's a whole generation of people since that movie, and not because of the movie, but the movie put their finger on it, that believe that if I put everybody else aside and do my own needs, in the greedy sense, then I will get forward and ahead, whatever that means. And then, of course, when you die and you don't have your piles of money and that, you realize that why did I sacrifice my value for something that is valueless?
Well, that's why I'm trying not to make piles of money, so I won't miss we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Tom if we can affect the outcome of a sports game on TV. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
How you want to talk negative, huh?
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours.
Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life. Tonight we're talking about the power of thoughts and intention and suggestions. You know, I was joking with Tom before the break about influencing something that you see on TV. And I really was, when you read, I mean, all this stuff, I mean, they say that groups of people that have the same general train of thought, you know, can it's like a wave that spreads. So, you know, I think about people watching, just think about how many people are watching Super Bowl or a football game, and, you know, when you have a tremendous number of people all focusing their intention on whether a guy's going to drop a ball or catch a ball or make a kick, you know, do you think it's possible that the outcomes of some of these events are influenced by these thought waves of people coming in?
Well, certainly could be, but you have to put it in the context of for every person who's, say, rooting for the Jets, there's a person rooting for the Patriots. So they're kind of canceling one another out on the one hand. On the other hand, there are times of a game when somebody does something and you go, what the heck? Where did that even, why would you do that? That kind of thing. Or
what made me do it?
Exactly. The devil made me buy this dress.
Well,
there's a Flip Wilson reference. That's really going to come with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's dating ourselves.
I think so.
I was a big Flip Wilson fan myself. Geraldine. Yeah. you threw me with Flip Wilson. I don't know where the hell I was going at. But yeah, I think that we talked about, it's still going on, the Global Consciousness Project, right? So you have all these random number generators in various parts of the world, 46 countries, and yet they pick up the world consciousness. When people are focused, not necessarily thinking about it one way or another, but when they're focused on an event, whether it be a Super Bowl or a political upheaval or a war or something, that all these generators pick it up. I mean, it's registered, and you see these spikes in these waves. So that's something where it's just picking up. We talked about unconscious intention, all right? It's not that everybody is trying to get these generators to spike at once all over the world. They're just picking up this wave of energy that's permeating, our physical world. So, I mean, that's interesting. If these things can pick up our unconscious, activities, then if we could harness our conscious thoughts that are swayed in one direction, maybe we really can affect change. We know that people like Claude Swanson send out these global, peace prayers.
Right.
I know you even end the show with
we read it at the end of the show, yeah.
One of them. But is it sort of, is it futile, can you affect?
Well, here's the big 60 gazillion billion dollar question. If everybody on the earth simultaneously would have the same positive thought, imagine. And wasn't that what John Lennon was saying?
Exactly.
And isn't that where the concept of prayer comes from?
Yeah.
Is trying to organize people to come together to pray simultaneously for the same thing. But then it turned into big business and money and controlling people, and it got lost.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly right. And, I was thinking about the Christmas song that he did. The whole thing was, war is over if you want it, was his message. And then, you have to want it. And you're exactly right. And then also, interesting to note, when you're talking about Claude Swanson organizing these global prayers, he's a physicist. I mean, we're not talking about mystics in that.
Right.
We're talking about science. It's
And he's got it all calculated. If you go to his site, he's got it calculated what the optimum time is during the day in your time zone to put out that prayer.
We ask why some people don't receive the messages when you send it out. And it could be that we're always projecting, but not everybody is always listening, right? People are not tuned in to the same frequency that you may be, right? So
you're talking about people here, not
It's people here,
I would agree with that because you talk to people and you can clearly tell you're not on the same page. It's not an even flow of conversation. So it must be similar to that.
Well, you were thinking the same frequency in the spirit world, Fran?
Yeah, because like Tom was saying before, he's thinking about one thing and then he gets an opposing thought in his head. Where's that coming from? Is it hopefully there are people on the other side who have our best interest at heart, or in seeing us complete the journey? journey or the reason that we've incarnated here. And so they're guiding us. And so they're giving you that opposing thought. And that's basically, again, going back to this same book, Blue Island, is what he's saying. The thoughts are out there. The thoughts are being sent and they are being received. But here in the physical world, when we receive those thoughts, we are more confused by them than not.
Yeah, and to some evidential thing here, whenever I sit down for a medium, the first thing they go is, well, there's a lot of people around you. You know, they're all here.
Right.
And one of our mediums a couple of years ago talked about our grandchild, our first grandchild, and said, you know, when she gets to be 3 years old, listen carefully to what she says, because she's gonna have insights. Well, the last time we went to visit, before they visited, she sat down and she drew a picture of Grandma and Grandpa. And Grandpa's picture was, you know, there was my head and my little stick body. And around my head were these little yellow faces. And I asked my granddaughter, well, you know, what's this? Said, well, there's Grandpa and there are Grandpa's people. So, you know, I mean...
Grandpa's got people too, huh?
She had, you know, she had no ulterior motive.
Call my people.
So I've been feeling that, you know, thinking, okay, there are people around me. So when I do get those thoughts now that are, you know, when I say something and then another one, immediately a thought says, well, you know, that's really this. I'm thinking, maybe that's not me thinking, saying that, but one of my people going, hey, you know... Keep on track here. It's usually the keep on track one, because I'll have a materialistic thought or something, and then I'll hear in the back of my head, well, you know, all the stuff we talk about will echo in my ear. Like, this is the way you should be thinking about that.
It's funny how, you know, you talk about, you know, getting these influenced by your people, and somebody else might say getting influenced by your people or your spirit guides. Right?
Well, I think so, exactly.
Yeah. You know, when we also hear a lot when you're trying to affect change or manifest something, that not to try to force it. It seems to be more effective when you sort of do it without tension or, you know, without stress, and just sort of let it flow and just send it out there, and then don't necessarily keep concentrating on it. I think the same principle is when people try to connect with their loved ones in spirit, you know, you keep saying, you know, talk to me, come to me, you know, and then you're obsessed by it, it's not going to be as effective as if you just set your intention and then let it flow and send it out there.
I don't think it's going to be effective at all. I think you're actually putting up a block.
Yeah, well, I guess so, yeah.
Probably.
And that because that's physical thought. That's like, I need this person. But you're dealing with that in the physical world. You're not dealing with that in the spiritual world.
Maybe that's when it'll come to you in a dream or something, when you're relaxed.
I
totally agree with you on that, because when I started to get into meditation, I used to be that kind of person who would, okay, I have to be sitting just the right way, and I have to, oh, it's a pond. I have to imagine a pond. I have to imagine a desert. Oh, I have to. And then we went to the Omega Institute last year and went for deep breath meditation with a yogi. And the first thing that they said, or what I got out of the weekend, it's the silence. It's the silence is where the power lies. You got to turn off your mind. And when I was able to do that, not think about anything and just not even focus, just let everything else happen around you, and that's where you concentrate on the breath, so you're not thinking about anything else, you're just thinking about breathing in and out, and that's when you get the best results. And again, in this John Lennon book, he said the same thing. It's and he had a song, Turn Off Your Mind and Relax and Float Downstream. It's all about not thinking. It's all about the silence.
And what do all the great remote viewers in history, what do they say? They were able to do that because they found a way to quiet their minds.
Yeah.
And that's when they had these intense abilities.
I think more specifically, the way Tom is trying, it's not quieting your mind, it's allowing your mind to be. Because when you try, let it be. Because when you try to do something to your mind or to the way you're thinking or to your body, you are engaging it in the physical world. And when you just allow it to be, let it be, it will be.
And interesting enough, when McCartney wrote Let It Be, it was because his mother came to him in a dream, his mother who had passed, and that's where the Let It Be, Mother Mary came to me. And it was their biggest, one of their biggest songs.
Well, I'm very good at going out of my mind because people have told me that. So, and with that, I think we've wrapped up a show on thoughts and suggestions. So, Fran, it's in your ballpark.
And now it's time for our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Andy O'Brien, Laura Lynn Jackson, Linda, Melissa Gould, Tanya Cash, Marianne Pierzga, Tracy Lee Nash, Flora Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Farron, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tina Jocelyn, Deb Martin, Tim Donahue, and Francis Mastracco. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.